Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AthensBanner.com and the Athens Banner Herald. This is the Georgia Bulldogs podcast. Bulldogs Extra. Now, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
All right. Welcome into the Bulldogs Extra podcast from Online Athens and the Athens Banner Herald.
What's going on?
That's Mark Weiser.
Interrupted you.
Alongside Ryan Dennis here with the Athens Banner Herald. Hey, go to our website, onlineathens.com. Find the Bulldogs Extra tab and read all about your stuff, Mark. So, here we are. A new week. A lot of light kind of being shown on what Georgia's kind of roster will look like next year, which you can read about today at onlineathens.com.
Yeah, there's a transfer portal, though, that's going to be in effect for the next 9 months until kickoff. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some additions, some subtractions. It's the nature of the beast for college football. And Georgia would need, I think, to get maybe a plug-and-play cornerback with Tyreek Stevenson in the portal, presumably going to be moving on.
How odd was that news to you? The savior of the Peach Bowl there.
Wow, that's quite a title.
Wouldn't you say? A heck of a play there to keep Cincinnati from converting on that long or that third down play.
Where your line was that at? Where would that have been?
Seemed like they were around the 40, weren't they?
Yeah. You might be right. So you're saying that they should build a statue for Tyreek even though he's leaving?
Why do you always take things a little bit too far? but it was surprising. I guess nothing's surprising.
Percolating. There had been, speculation about it for a few days at least. And following after Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell declaring to the NFL draft, you lose one of your guys that you counted on to probably start for next season. So,
but as you mentioned, though, the portal is live and active at a lot of schools, including one, say, down in Auburn, where I know there's a guy who entered the portal down there that I know a lot of.
Big Cat doesn't play cornerback, though.
Big Cat and was it Stefan Tutt? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
And he's from right down the road in Thompson. We're not saying it's going to happen, but this day and age, with as easy as it is to jump in that portal and go to wherever you want. What's your opinion on the portal? I mean, to me, it seemed like a good idea at first, where, hey, kids can be free agents too. A coach can leave at any time they want to and go to any school they want to. But here we've gotten, it seems to be getting a little bit out of hand. I don't know.
No, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't know Tyreek's situation in particular, but he's a kid from South Florida. If he wants to move on and get closer to home, I mean, you don't know what a season being played in the pandemic when you're not able to, kind of have the normal interaction, in terms of getting home or having family up here. I don't know exactly how that worked out for him. But look, you had Demetrius Robertson leave California to come closer to home to Georgia. You had Cade Mays leave Georgia to go back to Tennessee with a lot of controversy there, of course. But it's these kids' lives and let them make their decisions, just like, you see half the South Carolina staff deciding to go to Auburn to be on that staff. No, not half, but Mike Bobo, Will Friend are now going to be at Auburn instead of in Columbia, South Carolina. So
it's funny how these coaches kind of navigate toward one another, with Will Friend and I know Mike Bobo were friends from back in their days
with
the UGA staff.
Here's the story of those guys. Used to see Bobo and Will Friend always walking, or maybe that was Stacy Sarles. I'm getting confused now. I think it was both of them. Walking around the practice field, maybe beforehand. If you went to a bull site, let's say you were, wherever it was, whether it was Jacksonville or Tampa, or I don't remember exactly what years those guys were on staff together, towards the end of the Rick era, probably 11 to 14-ish. Lunch hour, they'd walk around outside as well in Athens. And they've been kind of joined to the hip a little bit. I mean, Bobo went to Colorado State. Will Friend joined him, left there to go to Tennessee, and then came back this offseason to South Carolina. Why are we talking about these guys? They're not in the Georgia staff
anymore. Did you ever see them at like an Oco around the table getting a shrimp thrown in their pocket?
I did see Mel Tucker and someone else on the defensive staff with Five Points. I think they're going to that new, it's not new anymore, that Chinese restaurant in Five Points across from Earth Fair over there. What's that?
Well, there's
Donna Chang's. Have you been there?
Not new, is it?
I know. Well, it was then.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got you.
Have you gone there?
I hadn't because, I hear it's delicious, but it's also... at this time of only getting takeout, I was warned, to go for the atmosphere.
It's like a family-style thing, right?
Yeah, but...
You're saying
I hear the atmosphere.
Isn't it like $25 a dish?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we order up some Donna Chang's next time for our next podcast?
And we'll just eat it on the...
Bring it in here.
Hey, that reminds me. I wanted to talk. I stopped by Five Guys last night and got a burger there.
In Watkinsville? Is that the one?
It's over on Ipswich, yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
I mean, I was just curious if you had to rank a burger, top burger in Athens.
Oh, man, now you're putting pressure. Now, who's advertising with us? Let's think.
Yeah.
It varies, and I do think you get a different version. Like if you're doing takeout and you bring it home, and by the time you get it home, it's not necessarily hot out of the kitchen.
I can't remember that place over also in the Ipswich area that I think you did that once there, and it is a little bit away from your house. So.
We could walk to Clocked from here. That's not bad. Downtown Athens. What's the place now I'm drawing a blank. In Watkinsville, Chops and Hops got a good burger.
They do have a very good burger. How about right here on the corner?
Groove
Burger. That's the one I was thinking of.
That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, but I think you got it one time. And it is a good little haul to get your food from there to home. And it was maybe a little soggy one time. But I do love their burger. When you get it there, it is one of the best. How about Porterhouse Grill? Have you ever had one of their burgers?
It's been a while, but
they have a good lunchtime
How much? $12? $14?
Not for lunch. It's everything's under $10.
All right, we're wrapping up the podcast now to go get some burgers.
Also, Royal Peasant in Five Points, if you've never had their burger.
I've never eaten their period. Is it good?
Yeah, yeah. Well, all I've ever gotten there is a burger because it's that good.
All right.
Okay, back to the podcast and the topic.
What about Sanford Stadium burgers? Do you enjoy those?
I don't know that they sell them. Only popcorn.
They don't sell burgers at football games?
They might now that they've done it.
Hey, now that we haven't mentioned this, but there's a new AD called Josh Brooks.
I've heard of that guy. What do you think his burger choice is? I bet he's eaten a lot of burgers.
I don't even know where you're going with that. Louisiana. He's probably into some crawfish. Some good Cajun food.
Yeah. You know? When we get him on the podcast one day, we'll ask him what his favorite.
We need to talk about Josh's hire. Maybe we'll do that after a break later. But what were we talking about? So I'll ask Josh. What they're serving burger wise at the stadium, and he wants to improve the fan experience. I know he's really into Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Well, they're already serving that. But I'm saying, if he wants the fan experience post pandemic,
well, he talked on his in his interview about how I think they had contacted maybe the Hawks, maybe the Braves. Or I saw it on an interview somewhere. I don't know if it was that specific one, but and the Braves are really good about having those Atlanta restaurants,
mm-hmm.
like the H&F Burger, I think, was a big thing when they were at Turner Field, which is a place in Atlanta where when things were normal, they would only sit like 25 customers.
I had an experience there. That was like out in the outfield, I think, somewhere.
Yes, it was in center field.
It was like $15 a burger there, though.
Yeah, that's expensive. I heard it was good. I never had it.
Yeah, it was good. I think we
What I'm getting at is I could see him doing something like that where, have an Athens establishment in Sanford Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that would be. If it'd be a burger joint like Clocked. Can, hey, how about that? You get a Clocked
burger.
Well,
I mean, you know, we wrote about this a couple of years ago when they brought in the famous barbecue out of Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, yeah. The Bear Bryant.
Bear Bryant.
Yeah, that was his big go-to place.
Why am I drawing a blank on it? It's like the most famous Southern barbecue place.
It's going to come to me. Dreamland.
Yeah, Dreamland. Mm-hmm. I wrote about that, and I talked to the guy that owns Pulaski Heights then about, you know, whether he kind of wanted to get in on the action. He said, I think he said sure, but, you know, it didn't happen then. So maybe Josh, look, Josh did a beer garden at Millsaps College, so I don't know what the beer, well, there's no beer sold, I guess, except for in the
beer garden.
In the suites. Now, I think they were going to go, they were going to add alcohol for this season upcoming, the 2020 season, before the pandemic, and then it just became a kind of a back burner issue. But, you know, Terrapin, let me hear all your Athens beers that you'd like to be served in Sanford Stadium.
Yeah, so you need to start with Creature and Terrapin, right? That needs to be your first thing. And go with your Tropicalia from Creature, Hops Executioner. Now you're getting dangerous, though, because that's...
I'm just talking about brands. I'm not talking about the exact certain...
Sorry, I remember I wrote an article breaking down the 10 best beers in Athens. So,
by the way, when you did that, did you get some of the beer distributors to send you cases and stuff?
No, so I went to Creature Comfort not long after that, and I was really just trying to have a conversation with the waiter, but I think he took it as, oh, you want a free beer because you wrote a damn article about our...
Oh, you told him you wrote it?
I was like, yeah, did you read my article? And he was like, oh, yeah, I happened to see that. I don't know why. I was like, whoa, brother, I'm just trying to have a conversation. But yeah, start with those two.
Ryan dropping, you know, at his drink orders, like, hey, I wrote about you guys.
Yeah, you know, I selected this as my favorite beer, and he was like, yeah, I don't care, dude. But I would go with those two. You got to get Southern Brewery in there because it's a kind of an established Athens beer. But so yeah, Josh Brooks hire in general, though. I think that was probably a 95% chance from the time that we started talking about Greg McGarrity's departure, even, what, 2 years ago when it was rumored that he might retire. And then definitely when they made that quick sort of announcement in early December that he would retire at Tennessee.
I thought we were talking about this after the break.
Oh, sorry. Well, I say we talk about it right now since I'm on a roll. So anyway, so when that made the kind of the quick announcement for Greg McGarrity and they immediately named Josh Brooks as interim, was there any doubt in your mind that he would be the guy?
Yes, there was a doubt. I mean, you had Frank Crumley was named the interim AD when Damon Evans resigned and he did not get the job. Now, this is different. Josh has, he was, I mean, I popped up a list right after Greg McGarrity's announcement, and I think I had Josh second on my list. Now, it wasn't necessarily, I didn't put odds on them in terms of who would be number one, but Carla, I had Carla Williams as the first name because she has was an established athletic director at a Power 5 conference, had pretty much served in the same role that Josh did, but he actually did it for longer, being the number two. You know, there was some thought about how well received she would be if she came back, not by Jerry Moorhead or, you know, people on the committee who made the decision, but how would she, you know, the rank and file Georgia fan, football, et cetera, how would everyone feel about her coming back? And, you know, not exactly sure how involved she got in the process, but she did put out a statement in, I think it was like mid-December, pretty much withdrawing her name from consideration. And she has a good thing. I mean, you know, it's a successful program at Virginia. It's a different fan base where, you know, football's not necessarily all being, it's not a powerhouse program. They do well in a lot of sports, men's basketball in particular.
Lacrosse.
But Josh certainly, you know, was well up there. And when it came down to it, Jerry Moorhead said that there was one other finalist, per se, which he didn't name. And it sounded like there were more that were going to be involved if they didn't have to go in front of an 11-person committee that was advising him. They didn't want that out there. They thought it would get too public. So it was. I was surprised with how fast it was. You know, what's the point necessarily of having a January 1st interim date and then 5 days later announcing that they're done and he's the guy? So, but, you know, very well received by the fan base, it seems, except for those that thought it was, you know, typical of the Georgia way just to, you know, stay within and not, you know, have, you know, spread your wings and, you know, bring somebody in that had been a sitting successful athletic director at a Power 5 school already.
Yeah, so is does Carla still is she the only female athletic director in the country as far as Power Five?
I am not certain about that.
It seems like that would be right, but yeah, I think the number one.
Well,
thing,
no, I mean, I think she was.
She was the first.
Well, she was the first female African American. Mm-hmm. I can Google it up and see if I find it, but I don't know the answer to that.
Throwing things out.
I think, well, no, I mean, certainly at Vanderbilt, they have a an athletic director. Candace Story is okay. She's not only is she a woman, but she's also a black athletic director as well. Okay, so there's but she was hired after Carla.
Okay, cool. Yeah, did I ever have I told the story about sitting down with Carla there one day for a story I did a few years back? It was funny because it was right after the Kirby smart hire, and I sat down with her in her office. She had mapped out about 3.5 minutes on her schedule for me to do an interview with her. But she allowed me to come into a actual athletic department meeting that they were having. And the strength and conditioning guy for the football team, you know, the get back coach, his name, you know, all these names floating in my head. They always escape me. Who is that?
You talking about at Georgia?
Yeah.
Scott Sinclair?
Scott Sinclair. Thank you. He actually gave a presentation at the meeting I was in, and I took photos, and they were – I pretty much had to sign my life away that I wouldn't say anything about it.
When was this?
Right after Kirby was hired. So Kirby had nominated him or whatever to be the strength and conditioning guy, and he actually gave a presentation about why he should be the guy, which is kind of cool. I can't talk about it any further for risk of losing my job here. So with that, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Georgia and how they set up for next year after a lot of recent announcements on players coming back. We'll also talk a little bit about the basketball team going quickly in a southbound direction. So all that and more when we get back for the Bulldogs Extra podcast right here with the Athens Banner-Herald and online at. All right, welcome back in the Bulldogs Extra podcast. I'm Ryan Dennis. Hey, I made a change to my Twitter recently, so I am now just R-Y-N-E Dennis. 19.
You didn't need, I need to. What
no led, more rhino in front of it.
Oh, really? What led to that big change?
Well, I have matured since I created my Twitter account. So,
really?
Yeah. So find me at RyanDennis19. Mark Weiser. That's Mark with a C. I'm sure a lot of y'all already follow him, but if you don't, click on it. Follow him. A lot of good Bulldog stuff. You know, we talked about Stevenson leaving in the first segment there, and what we didn't really get to was all the players that Georgia has returned. You know, they have unfinished business, or so they keep saying on their Twitter announcements. Guys like JT Daniels, Jordan Davis, a big, big part of the defense next year coming back. James Cook, and of course, Jamari Sawyer on the offensive line. You know, I've seen some preseason buzz and odds and whatnot, and a lot of people high on Georgia for next year, I think, because a lot of these guys coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point every January that everybody is high on Georgia, so that is not something
that's a shot right there.
That's different. No, it's true. I mean,
they always fail, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no,
they come up a little short.
I mean, I don't know if you heard this. In 2017, they made it to the national champion. Now, that was not a year where they had a lot of offseason hype because they were coming off, 8-5?
Subpar season. Yeah.
Something. Well, I don't know if it was subpar. It was Kirby's first year.
They lost to Vanderbilt.
Well, I mean, you're saying Vanderbilt's not a great institution of higher learning?
They did have Cunningham at linebacker, which is one of their best players they've ever had. So,
yeah, that was an interesting some interesting losses that down the stretch there.
Georgia Tech
as well, and trip to the Liberty Bowl.
Mm.
Trenton Thompson, your MVP.
Oh, God. That guy, man.
And now that was something, though, because they gave Trenton, I feel like he was surrounded by like three trophies post-game in that interview room. I don't know. I think he just had the regular Liberty Bowl trophy, the defensive MVP trophy. He was a happy guy that day. So
did he went pro after that, or did he play next year? He came back. He was part of that team. That
might have been when he had a very difficult offseason after that. I can't remember.
Yeah, that was strange. Anyway, get back to next year. We got
a
lot of returns.
I mean, I was struck by, and I went through, looked at you know, the roster and kind of took stock of you know, the comings and goings of, you know, it's rare that you have, you tell me, I mean, is there any of these guys? Azeez Ojulari clearly brings something to the table in terms of his ability to get to the quarterback. We saw it against Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl. But I think Georgia's at the level now with this program that, you know, barring JT Daniels, if he had decided to leave, you know, there's really not a missing piece that you take it away, or a piece you take away that you probably can't plug in someone else, just because of the level. When you have four straight top three, I guess it's five straight top three recruiting classes now, you're able to, you know, deal or withstand these kind of losses better than you could have maybe in past years, pre-Kirby, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just so much talent there. I mean, I listed in my story, I think there were like five stars on defense that weren't really even starters last year, between Adam Anderson, Jalen Carter, Keely Ringo, who was injured, mm-hmm. Trevon Walker, you know, who really still is kind of more of a role player than an every down guy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think it's huge to have Devontae Wyatt coming back for another year, Justin Schaefer for another year. We haven't heard from Demetrius Robertson yet. I mean, that still could be
a 6 year. Is that what it'd be? Or it'd be a 5th year, I guess, for him.
I mean, he was a 5th year. I guess it'll be a 6 year, but yeah. I mean, this is just all about that extra year of eligibility.
No, I know,
offer.
I know, yeah.
And I mean, really, you know, he's like the 6th or 7th option in terms of a pass catcher. I mean, Georgia has their top four back already. Maybe Robertson was 5th. I can't remember. But then you throw in Don Blaylock and Marcus
Rosemary
Jack Saint. And I don't know what his deal is in terms of exactly the timeline on him. Yeah. Obviously a gruesome injury, but, you know, there's a lot of talent still all over the place. Now, I do think the secondary, as we talked about earlier, you're really going to need to get creative to be able to fill some spots. And you know, there's still they could still add, you know, a safety in February as a signee. But I do think that transfer portal is going to be necessary. Then you're going to have to develop guys that you really haven't counted on to be every down, you know, frontline guys.
Well, I think, like we mentioned last week, I think Sean now becomes your kind of leader in the secondary, kind of like Richard LeCount was, you know, over the past couple of years. When you think about this team, and you had mentioned about how they're at the level where you restock every year, I guess is what I'm saying. You don't rebuild. And so when I think of those positions, I think of offensive line where – especially under Sam Pittman, it was every year bringing in, you know, 5 stars at every position across the line. And then you see it now where, yes, it's good that Jamari Sawyer's come back, but you felt like you were in pretty solid situation even if he left. But Schaefer as well, you know, that's two key positions that, you know, with them coming back, it's even stronger. And you're recruiting another class on top of that. Also think about linebacker where, you know, you had Roquan leave a couple years ago. So who steps in? You have Monty step right in and take that position. Even though he wasn't as highly recruited, he certainly proved that he was the leader of the defense, especially in the middle there. So now Monty leaves because he's, you know, senior. And you have a guy like N'Kobe Dean that's going to step up, take that spot. Quay Walker has shown, you know, good years of playing linebacker there. So that's just all the, you know, reloading every single year. You have another guy come in. You know, you think about is Sherman the next guy that will get a little bit more playing time this year and then be ready to step into one of those roles. So, like you mentioned, it's just reloading every year. And, again, you get back to JT Daniels coming back. I think everybody, you know, the way he played down the stretch, and the way that he wasn't afraid to take the cap off the defense, so to speak, and throw deep. And when you got George Pickens coming back, and you got that group of receivers that you mentioned, and it does set up very well for Georgia going into next year. Now, with that said, so did 2008, right? When Georgia was ranked number one in a lot of polls and then had disappointing loss to Tennessee, I think it was. I can't remember who. Oh, it was Auburn late in the year. No, that was 04. I get my seasons mixed together. But anyway, just times when Georgia was extremely hyped going into the next year seems to be a little bit of a letdown. Now, under Kirby Smart, they've been able to win, you know, at least go to all these New Year's Six bowls in a row. So you feel like the program is ready to take that next step. And with these guys coming back, I think they, as we've talked about, hashtag unfinished business, I think they're ready to take that next step.
Oh, I know you changed your Twitter name. Are you starting to use that hashtag now?
Unfinished business?
Yes.
Not relating to football, but yes.
Okay.
When I'm eating a burger.
number four. Georgia was number four in the preseason this year, so I don't think it's much different in terms of the hype, as you mentioned. I mean, look, they're going to be geared up to open against Clemson and Charlotte, and you know, they're either going to that result's going to obviously just feed that hype, or they're going to be kind of looking to have to bounce back and, you know, suffer an early loss and then just go from there. I mean, we haven't heard about the 2021 SEC schedule yet. There's no indication that it's going to be outside the norm. I mean, in terms of, you know, you went to a 10 game for this very different season. But you expect it would go back to eight, which would mean if they stick with the schedule, the rotation, Georgia's going to have Arkansas again from the SEC West, because that was scheduled to be, and they would be coming here, I guess. Huh? You know, then you have Auburn with a first-year coach, Brian Harsin, as your other SEC West team like you do all the time. But my point being, you're still avoiding facing Bama in the regular season. Obviously, you're not going to see them for a second straight year. But I mean, it used to, you know, we were talking about LSU as a when you'd face them, but that's not the beast it was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. And there might be even even more trouble here going forward.
Yeah, so you know, we'll see how it plays out with Zamir White. I haven't heard from him, but you know, even if Zamir does decide to go, and he could certainly decide to stay, and by the time you hear this, he might have put out something on social media today as we record this on Wednesday. Anything else going on today in the world, by the way?
Not getting into that.
I mean, this was a week ago. Josh Brooks, we had a athletic board executive committee meeting on Zoom, and then that was quickly followed by 45 minutes later, a kind of a press conference with Josh and Jerry Moorhead. And so, you know, I'm in a room on my laptop, you know, taking part in these things and not in front of a TV. And yeah, you're seeing stuff on Twitter about, you know, how the you know, there's craziness going on at the Capitol. So
I watched it all unfold.
Yeah, I mean, it was just very strange that you're dealing, you know, you're talking about an athletic director announcement, and then you have a crisis basically at the same time. But what were you talking about?
I was just gonna say, speaking of crisis, let's talk Tom Crean and Georgia basketball.
Oh, come on,
transition. I mean, look, a hot start.
I mean, you're talking about democracy, and then you're talking about SEC basketball.
So anyway, Georgia off to its best start in, 30 years was the narrative 2 weeks ago. And then Georgia opens 0-3 in the SEC and are coming off just a terrible performance at Arkansas where they lost by 30. So
yeah, I don't remember what they were down by, 6 at halftime maybe, and
yeah,
you know, it was reminiscent of some of the blowouts last year where you know, they looked like the team kind of gave up a little bit and, you know, just didn't have the fight, and you know, 0-3 is a early hole here in the conference. You got Auburn tonight at Stegman, 7 p.m., and they got their five-star point guard that just Sharif Cooper just became eligible for the Alabama game, but they're also winless in the conference. Georgia getting K.D. Johnson cleared, got a waiver from the NCAA on Monday, and so there's a little bit of there's some positive vibes and great expectations for KD Johnson as Georgia could change the subject from that 30-point blowout and, you know, get a chance to get back. And look, this is a guy that can help them, gives them some depth in the backcourt and an ultra-competitive guy, they say. Top 100 recruit, the best guy in terms of the rankings in this 2020 class that came in. And so it'll be his debut tonight.
Why was he under scrutiny or whatever the word would be for why was he not eligible to play it the first year?
Tom Crean said yesterday during his Zoom with reporters that he was a half credit short of being qualified. And so
out of high school or
well, he was at Hargrave Military. Now, I guess he was completing his requirements there last year. And I think it was a postgraduate season or, you know, whatever he needed to do to be eligible. And, you know, I guess he was not certified. And but word came Monday that he got a waiver to allow him to play. So he'll join a team that they certainly could use some
They
talent.
Need all the help. Yeah, they can get at this moment. Now, I felt like through the LSU game and at the first of the Arkansas game that Justin Kyer was really a guy that was starting to step up for the Bulldogs. They grad transfer in from George Mason. It seems like, you know, if he can put it together along with Tumani Kamara, Sevier Wheeler, that's a good core of players if they can win tonight in what I feel is maybe one of Tom Crean's most important games to get this program back on track. That Kyer is a guy that they can lean on when they need some points, kind of like, you know, you don't want to compare him to Anthony Edwards last year, but the Bulldogs are in need of somebody that can take the ball and score when they need it most.
Yeah, I mean, they are, and Mike Mobley, the sports information director for the basketball team, I mean, he has this front and center in his game notes. They kind of trumpet the fact that this is they're the only team, I think, in the country, according to their research, that has, I think it's six guys now scoring in double figures. So they don't have an Anthony Edwards that is going to be your go-to guy. They don't have I don't even know if Nick Claxton really fell into that territory or not. Certainly Yante Mayton did when he was here, but, there's good and bad about that. Nobody really was stepping up and hitting shots when you needed to.
I feel like J.J. Frazier was even more of the...
In the second, sure. Well, you're going back even further then, I guess.
And Mayton played on the same team. I mean, that was a good little inside-out presence for him.
But my point is, they have guys, but I would say, the one guy that kind of takes the bull by the horns and runs with it is Sevier Wheeler. I mean, he's going to be the one to try to drive and sometimes out of control, but he'll attack the rim. And Justin Kier's not shy to throw up a 3-point shot, and certainly Tumani around the basket, and he hit a couple threes the other day, three, I think, but got in foul trouble. So they have guys that can score, and we'll see how they fit KD Johnson in the mix there.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch tonight. Of course, the Lady Dogs off to their best start in about 4 years when they last made the NCAA tournament, I do believe. They got a big game tomorrow night, Thursday night, against Tennessee, at Tennessee. Could be one of the more important games of the Joni Taylor era, because this team has played really well this year. Of course, everybody knows what Tennessee brings and the rivalry kind of between Georgia and the Lady Vols. And if Georgia wants to keep this momentum going in this hot start to the season, it would be really big to get a win up there against Tennessee. 10-1, I do believe the Lady Dogs are, to start the year, coming off a win over Florida the other day. Hey, another thing, I saw baseball starts today, I believe. Did you see that?
You mean they're
practice?
Well, I mean, I know that school starts, but maybe they're working out. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I saw that practice starts today. Now, there's not even a schedule released yet for baseball season, and they want to start in a month.
Right. Well, they're getting the ducks in a row on that. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with non-conference travel for baseball, but you mentioned Tennessee. I hadn't been following it that closely, but I mean, they made a coaching change.
Mm-hmm. Got rid of Warlock.
Yeah, that was so it's been a couple years?
No, I think it was last year.
No, I'm saying this will be the second year for that head coach.
I
think it is. Okay. Yeah. They're 8-1, 2-0 in the conference, and Georgia 10-1, 2-1 in the conference. And there's your SEC women's basketball coverage from the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Ryan, what else you got? You got another burger recommendation before we go, or what else?
No, but I'm thinking about going sushi for our weekly meal this week, where we continue to support local.
And when you say we, what do you mean by that?
Me and my fabulous girlfriend, Emily, we eat.
Wow, fabulous. Now you need to.
I hope she's listening in.
Yeah, you need to point that out to her.
Yeah, zoom ahead to 28 minutes and 12 seconds in the podcast. Thinking about Utagi. You ever been to Utagi?
Have not.
It's right across the street from us here, I do believe. So they have a thing called a sushi boat or something. So we should get sushi for a day or two out of that.
All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that.
I appreciate it. Hey, this has been the Bulldogs Extra Podcast from the Athens Banner Herald and Online Athens. And we'll come to you again next week. What do you say?
I think that's a plan. And hopefully your sushi goes well with your beer and your burger.
Yeah.
And let's we'll check back with everybody next week. Hope you all have a good rest of your week and enjoy the weekend. And maybe what's going on with the football? Is there a college? You didn't even mention. You didn't congratulate the national. No, you don't want to go there.
Sore subject to a lot of people. 7 national championships.
Hey, I will say this though before we go. Now we're already out the door as we said goodbye. you know what? My takeaway beyond just the Alabama Ohio State game and what we saw on the field was I do think that. The fact that Justin Fields had the kind of showing he did, now he was coming off an injury, but, that takes a little bit of sting, I think, out of the whole. Now, certainly Georgia wishes he was, available to start this year from the get-go, but if he had led them to a national championship, I mean, you would never have heard the end of that.
Right.
And I don't think you, totally doused it, but, I mean, I already saw some people saying, well, Jake Fromm put up better numbers than Justin Fields did against Bama.
Yeah, I think the Bulldog Nation still would have liked that. But hey, you get JT Daniels out of it, so there's a positive.
All right, see ya.
Bye.